It's the motherfucking Millennial Mija podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. It's your girl, Thea Ange, and it's still quarantine. It is still quarantine. And I mean, like, you're not locked in your house. Like, we're not locked in our houses, but we also, there's, like, not that many places to go. And, like, you really, like, shouldn't be going that many places. So it's, like, still a lot of the same shit every day. And I know I'm not the only one. But anyways, so welcome back to the Millennial Mija podcast. I know it's been a while since I have been on here because I just, honestly, if you want me to be completely honest, I'm barely getting by. Like, I feel like it's a daily mountain to climb with my mental health, and I'm trying to stay balanced, and that feels like it's a full-time job in and of itself right now. I don't know if I'm the only one. I know that there has to be a lots of other people that feel the same way as me, but I feel like I'm just treading water, and I feel like I'm okay with that. I feel heavy, but I feel strong enough to hold it for the first time because I finally see that the work, the fruits of the labor, like, are that you, like, the shit around you doesn't change, the circumstances don't change, but your ability to bounce back from certain things, and your ability to problem solve, and your ability not to lose your whole, you know, your whole mind off of one small problem, like, those were things that I struggled with, and now I feel like a little bit more in control of that, and so I feel like I am making progress. So this episode is a little bit different because what you're about to hear is a recording of a Zoom workshop I did for Core PCC, which is a program at PCC that the population is formerly incarcerated or system impacted, meaning daughters or sons of people who have went to prison, which I am. Both my parents went to prison before I was born. My dad did 10 years, my mom did 5, and you know, that did impact my life in many ways, systemically, but also just, like, personally, on a personal level of how I see things. You know, a lot of the wisdom that I have been passed down comes from that world, and it's an interesting place to be in, just because, you know, I feel like I am the borderland. I have that poem about, you know, being on the borderland of things. And so, yeah, so this Zoom workshop is called Turning Pain into Power. And it's the story of, you know, the way I've been dealing with 2020 from the very beginning, you know, what it was like for me when I first found out, and then how I managed to figure out a way to take back the things that I thought the virus had taken from me at first. And so yeah, this is the story of that. And we took out the people's responses just because we don't, you know, want to put people out there like that unless we have their permission. But, you know, I left in the prompts, so you will be able to participate in the workshop as if you were there. Just, like, pause it and do your writing if that's what you feel like doing, or if you just feel like listening to it, do whatever you feel like you need to do. I'm just glad you're listening, because my goal with this podcast is for it to be a place that I can put all of the stuff that I am learning and, you know, archive it for the person who comes after me, whoever that may be. And, you know, you're not going to take my experience with you, but maybe the stories that I tell will help you make a decision differently in the future. And I hope that that can be a positive thing. With that said, thank you for coming back to the Millennial Mija podcast. And yeah, thank you for being here. I really do appreciate every single person that, you know, sends me encouraging words here and there. And, you know, just everyone listening who just sends me good vibes, because I do feel them, and I appreciate you. So without further ado, here is Turning Pain into Power. My father passed away in 2011, but he's not really gone, you know, because he lives through me, and everything I know how to do in terms of how to use my voice to give life to other people came as an example from him. And so today what I want to talk about is turning pain into power. And this is a common phrase. This is a phrase that you hear many, many spiritual teachers talk about. But you know what I don't know if they highlight the into And that's what I want to talk about today, is the turning pain into power. Because a lot of times you'll hear these really beautiful stories of redemption and of, you know, recovery and people taking a painful situation and turning it somehow into something that benefited them or something they learned from. And that's all well and good, but how did they do it? And that's what I want to talk about today, is what that will look like for all of us. And so, so I want to do an icebreaker. So I want us to go around and just tell us your name, and in one word, tell us why you're here. So you can say, my name is Angie and I'm here to teach. So the reason why I do that is to want to take a little bit of time just to see where your head is at, because I'm what they call, but no one's ever called me that. I call myself that. So I'm what I call an intuitive teacher. So I'll have like an outline, but then if someone jogs my memory or if there's something that enters the space or like energy or something that I feel like, oh, we need to focus on that, then I'll go there and it will just kind of happen. And so no workshop is ever really the same. So thank you for adding something to the space so far. So what I want to first acknowledge is that we are in a collective, we are collectively grieving just as people, whether that be, you know, you're grieving the loss of a job, or you're grieving the loss of the plans you had for this year, or you're grieving the loss in so many other ways that we can't even imagine. Because as the thing I have noticed about this quarantine is that it's as unique as the person. People's struggles are so unique, and the way that they're reacting, because whether or not you have mental illness affects your experience right now. And I know for me, that has been something I have been struggling with for a while. And then this added stress on top of it, I think we just need to collectively acknowledge that we are collectively grieving in some way, shape, or form. And so I just want to acknowledge that it's okay to, when you name something grief, then all of a sudden other things, other emotions become available to you for you to have. Because if you don't acknowledge that what we're in right now is a global pandemic, and that shit is scary, and it's a lot, and it's, no one knows how to handle this, then it kind of becomes okay when all of that kind of chaos starts to come in your energy space. Like if it's your anxiety or just your worries about what might happen or what might not happen or what's gonna happen, like it's just so many questions. And when all of those questions start to come at once, that's what anxiety is. It's being worried, but in a way that affects your life. And a lot of us are sitting at home not knowing what's gonna happen next. And when you don't have anywhere to go to escape those thoughts, or when you can't really, you know, go do it. Like for me, it was hiking. I would just, when I started to feel kind of like boxed up in my house, I would go hiking. And then all of a sudden the trails were closed. And then it's like, okay, well, what coping mechanisms do I have aside from that? And it turned out not many. So this whole quarantine has been a process of me trying to develop or kind of tease out some coping mechanisms that I was learning in therapy before this, that I was learning in these DBT skills groups that I was going to, and really trying to be like, okay, well, aside from drugs, alcohol, and sex, and making myself busy, what are my other options? And one of the only other ones was writing. And so when everything started to get to be too much for me, I started writing for the first time in a very long time. And what was interesting to me about that was it was out of pure necessity. I have been wanting to write a book about my life and my family for a really long time, but I wasn't letting myself. I just wasn't. And I don't know if it's because I didn't want to acknowledge some of the things that I would need to acknowledge in order to write that book or confront some of those things, but I started to find that in those moments of extreme depression or extreme kind of anxiety or just the unknowing, when I started to write the book, the moment the book got an opportunity to exist, there it was. And then I started to understand what was happening, why being so close to my mother in a really confined space, why that was so triggering for me. And then all of the things I started to write, when I would wake up and I would be so angry that I wouldn't even want to leave my room because the energy was just so ugly. because I was not acknowledging that I have zero relationship with her. And so then when I started to wake up and I was like, well, either I go out there and I like basically spit venom at everyone around me because I'm unhappy, then that's when the writing started to be like, what are you feeling? Naming the words, like naming the things that were making me angry. And that started to, I started to feel this little bit of pain release. Like I was able to just kind of like, whew, like a little bit of pressure just got released. And then I started to see how consistent my writing got. And before you know it, I have so many words and so much amount of this book that I'm writing, whereas before it was just an idea. But because this started to become a necessity, this coping mechanism, because it was the only one I had. It was the only one I had that I knew worked, aside from the ones that I was trying to gain by going to therapy and DBT skills group, and also, you know, trying to start a business so that I could, you know, easy button my way out of feeling any of my emotions. Because being busy or keeping busy is another form of coping. And a lot of times we keep ourselves busy so that we don't have to confront what's happening in our lives or the emotions that we don't want to feel because they're not pleasant. So in that collective grieving, and that acknowledgement of like the shit we're going through, I just want us to kind of take a deep breath and just take a moment of silence and like let whatever comes to you come into your head. After hearing what I just said. So I'm gonna take a deep breath. We are collectively grieving, for all of the plans we had and the world we thought we knew, and that's okay. So I want you all to just kind of, if you haven't already, many of us have had to become therapists for ourselves in the past couple weeks or days. And so maybe some of you have already come to this conclusion, but the way I operate in my life is that I don't wait until someone gives me a degree anymore or a green light to say, you know what, you're wise now. So go ahead and go share your shit with the world. Like, no, as soon as I get the information, I'm giving it back. So the information I give today might be different from the workshop I give tomorrow, but I'm coming with the best that I got right now. This is the best knowledge I have access to in the moment, and that's what I want to share with you. And so I came across something that I thought was really cool, so I want y'all to listen to this real quick.
In a small, dingy bar between the worlds, a holy man sat having a drink with the Creator. Your omniscience, please, tell me about heaven and hell. Oh, come with me. I'll show you. And so the Creator took him to the back of the bar where there were two identical doors, and he opened the first one. When the holy man looked inside, he saw a large room. At the center of the room, there was a round table, and in the middle of that, a huge stew pot simmering and giving off the most fragrant, delicious smell. All around the table sat thin, grey, sickly people, and each of them had a spoon with an extremely long handle. As he watched, he saw that whilst they were able to get their spoons into the pot and take a spoonful, because of the long handles, they couldn't get the end of the spoon into their mouths. The holy man was overcome with pity at their plight. He turned to the Creator, who said, "This is hell." He opened the second door, and the holy man looked inside to see the same room with the same round table, the same stew pot. But around this table, the people were robust and healthy, fat and jolly, and they were laughing and sharing stories and jokes. "I don't understand," said the holy man. And the Creator replied, "Just watch." And as he did, he saw each of the people pick up their spoons, dip them in the stew pot, and feed each other.
Okay, so for me, the way we feed each other is by healing in community. And so feeding each other looks like, holding spaces like this, because today we are here to attempt to confront whatever pain that this virus or this life has caused for us so that we can attempt to heal from it. And the way that kind of gets set into motion, because everybody's not always ready to do that. That's a very difficult thing. And so the way that I attempt to foster that in other people is just by telling you how I got mine. That's it. The only story I can ever speak from, the only experience I can ever speak from is my own. And there's power in that if you tell the truth about what happened and how it felt and how you got to the other side. And so, or how you're still attempting to get to the other side. And so that's what I'm going to attempt to do here today. So I want us to start by releasing any silent expectations that we may have of perfection, of what today's outcome will or should be like, or what your own healing should look or sound like, because none of that is beneficial to getting anything out of this. So in order to not waste your time, release all expectations of perfection for especially me, but for also you too. So here's the truth. What I know for a fact is that if you don't feel it, you can't heal it. It's not an option. It's not an option to move on from something unless you're willing to feel the emotion that came with it. Because the truth is, we're all human, and no one is above human emotion. And so when things make you sad, or when things hurt you or make you angry, ignoring them does nothing other than kind of metastasize it in your body. It just kind of starts to grow into this like cancer that eats away at you, but from the inside out. And that's extremely unhelpful. And so I know that for a fact, because it kind of, I did that and I spiraled. And so let me tell you how I know that. So in 2011, like I mentioned, my father died, and I was grieving and I was emotionally suffering, but I didn't know how to properly process my emotions. So the thing about emotions is, as hard as you try to numb them, they still show up somehow. Like, mine showed up in my behavior. So like I mentioned before, I tried partying, prescription drugs, alcohol, sex, relationships, and none of it could fill the hole that I had in my life, because the fact was that I was struggling with a severe mental illness, and I was trying to numb mental and emotional pain of losing my father with the physical things in my life, the things that I think that I thought felt good in the moment but did nothing for me in the long run. And so I was getting all of my validation from external sources. And so what I figured out is that numbing equals rejecting reality. And so that's what I was doing, is I was constantly rejecting the reality around me. And that leads to delusional thinking. You're not living in the same reality as everyone else. And so while the rest of the world would have lost their father and probably maybe, I don't know, spoke to a grief counselor or nobody around me, the access to the wisdom around me was a little bit limited because the people around me didn't have access to much more knowledge than that themselves. And so there's all this grief that's occurring in my family, but no one has been an example of how to process that. And so the whole thing, the only message that I receive is, being strong is, that's it, that's your option. Be strong or what, die? Like, those are the two options. And that was kind of what it seemed like to me, because my mom had been so much of a survivor that I didn't realize that surviving is the bare minimum. Like, what about thriving? What about living? When do I get to do that? And so you don't get to do that until you feel your human emotions. And the human emotions that I was denying was the grief of losing my father, just because I was scared of it. I thought it might kill me. I thought if I acknowledged how badly that hurt, that I would die from pain, die of a broken heart. And so the only way that I knew how to do that was to release a little bit of it on the page. And that's probably the reason why I haven't written a book since 2016, because I wasn't processing properly. And had I been continuing to write and using the coping mechanisms that I had been given, then I wouldn't have tried to numb everything so much. And so we numb because we would rather not feel the pain of reality. That's what I know. And when we ignore or try to numb our feelings, we betray ourselves. That's the biggest message I can give you, is this like idea of betraying yourself. Because when you do something that you know is bad for you, and you know, but you choose to, like, there are moments where you can pretend like you don't know, but after a certain amount of times of getting the exact same result and you keep on going and doing the same thing, that's a decision after a while. And no one's judging you for that, but I want you to at least acknowledge it, because you know better. But we continue to hurt ourselves and betray ourselves because we don't believe we deserve any better. And so this is betrayal, because we are not giving ourselves the opportunity to grow. So you basically emotionally stunt yourself when you try to numb anything. And so pain equals growth. Numbing equals rejecting reality. And so, like Rumi said, like one of my favorite poets of all time, the wound is where the light enters you. And so if you refuse to let yourself be wounded, the light cannot enter you. It just can't. And so I want to talk a little bit about a list that I made for myself. Because when I was in the beginning of this quarantine, I was cool. Like, I was fine with everything that was happening, because I was already doing that. I was already in quarantine. I was already in isolation because I had just detoxed from, I was addicted to Adderall for like over 10 years. And I had, when I finally was prescribed my fifth medication and diagnosed with my, like, however many other a mental illness, they finally gave me like my fifth medication. And that's when I was like, what the hell is this? Like, what? I have to take five, like, antipsychotic medications a day? Like, and then I have to take a sleeping pill because the Adderall won't let me sleep. So it was like this cycle of bullshit that I could not get myself out of, until finally, like, it was like the moment she put that medication in my hands, it was like a button got pushed, and it was like, ding, wake up, bitch. Look what you're doing. Like, you're just here. It's like they just keep, every time you come in with a new problem, they give you another medication. And why is the prescription never to talk about how you feel? Why is the prescription never to go deeper there? And that's when I started to realize that my life was not a result of decisions I had made. My life was a result of the decisions I had made while I was on fucking drugs. And so I had to look around and look at that and admit to it and come to terms with it. And that was hard. And that was when I decided that I wasn't going to take no Adderall, no Klonopin, no Latuda, no Lamictal, no none of the other stuff. I wasn't taking anything. But I also knew that being the daughter of two recovering heroin addicts, and just being growing up in NA, taught me that detox is the worst shit you'll ever go through in your life. And so I was scared. I was scared, but it was like, there's like two things filling up. It's like, which one? Yes, scared or pissed. Like, my pissed one was way higher than my scared, because I was like, I don't even have control over anything in my life right now. And when I started to realize that, it got me so mad at myself. And so that was outweighing the scared part. And so when I decided to go through with the detox, you know, it was painful. It was extremely painful because I wasn't taking any of my mood medication anymore, and I was living with my mom. And so that was just not a winning combination, because she struggles with the same kind of explosive, like, reactions and just like highly sensitive, but she doesn't have any medication to help her with that. And so I was the only one that was kind of keeping the even keel, like, even somewhat. And then when that was gone, it was just, and that first month was, it was hell. it was hell. But it also started to create this like bond between me and my mom that I feel now is being evolved. But it started because of the decision to do the detox, because I mean, I couldn't get out of bed. It was because when you detox off of a upper like Adderall, what happens is you crash. But I mean, I hadn't stopped taking it in almost 12 years. So I never had a detox period. So the crash was extremely severe for me. And combined with not taking any, all the doctors told me not to do this, but I'm the kind of person, I don't know if you can relate, that I do what I want to do. And because this was no longer a medical prescription, like this was a soul prescription. This was something different. Like, I'm not going to talk to no MD about my soul, because that's not what they're educated in. And so I knew what was right for me, just like you know what's right for you. And so I had to come to terms with all of these things that were really difficult for me. And so I've started to learn how to make lists in order to make sense of things. And so an honest list of things that this virus has taken from me, this is what it felt like at the time. My healing, my routine, my DBT skills group, my hiking, my therapy, my income, my future sales, my sense of normalcy, my safety, honestly, my opportunity to shine, all of the opportunities, all of the gigs I had lined up where I was planning on proving everybody wrong, because there was a point in my career where I kind of fell out for a while, and this was going to be that year that I climbed back on top, and I didn't need nobody else, and I didn't need to ask for nothing from nobody. I could go get it myself. And guess what? I booked all those dates. And then what happened? And so when you're getting your validation from an external source like that, then when something happens and the world shifts and you no longer have that opportunity, then what? Then what? Then you gotta figure out where else you can get it. And so this virus has taken things from me, but it's also given things to me. And what I want is for us to do an activity. And the activity is going to be to make two lists. One is a list of the things the virus has taken from you. And the second list is a list of the things the virus has given you. And I'm going to go ahead and we'll just do a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back and reconvene on that. I had to take the list of the things that it had taken from me, and I had marinated on that for a while. And so I had to think about the word take. You know, usually when we use the word take, we mean that something of ours was taken without our permission, which is, I think, why it was causing me so much pain. Because I felt that my year had been taken from me, all of those things, my opportunity to shine, my income that I was gonna make, the merch, the moves I was gonna make, and all the people I was gonna prove wrong, right? And that's the ego. That's the ego talking. Because my goal was supposed to have been healing. But instead, I was worried about what I looked like on the outside to other people. And when we think of the word take, we usually mean that something was taken from us. But what if instead of it being taken, all those things, what if I just gave them away? Like, what if I just let it go? Like, I thought about it and I was talking to my therapist, but I didn't come to this conclusion on my own. I want y'all to know I'm not that smart. I came to this conclusion in therapy with the assistance of my therapist, but yes, it was my like little moment of enlightenment, but it was sparked because of the conversation I was having already. I had to show up to the therapy appointment on the phone. You know, I had to be willing, I had to have gone to try to find a therapist in the first place. There's so many steps that had to happen in order for me to come to that conclusion, which was, wait a minute, like, start to acknowledge the things that are serving me and the things that are not. Because let me tell you, every single time I would get a Google alert, and let me tell you how calculated and methodical I had my year planned out. Next to every single event or gig I had planned, in my Google Calendar, I put the amount of money I was making. And so every single time a damn Google alert pops up about a workshop I was supposed to be at, a university campus I was going to be at, a conference, whatever it was, I get this stupid like pop-up reminder of the bag I was missing, basically. And I had to turn those alerts off because I needed to release that. It was like, it was weighing me down in such an ugly way. And it was like, every single time that it would happen, it would be like a little drive-by. Like, it would just be like, I wouldn't even realize that that was going to pop up on my calendar. And then my heart would sink in this weird way of like, me feeling shame or like I was behind in the race. Like, first of all, what race? Like, who am I competing with? I was competing with an idea of what success looks like, but the real success, the real glow up is internal. And that is what you will always have to know to be true. And so I thought about it and I got to this conclusion. What was like, what if instead of it being taken from me, like, what if I just gave this, all of the expectations that I had for this year, what if I just released them? And like, how would that power dynamic change? Like, what would it mean for me? And I spoke to, so that was in a healing, like I came up with the question in therapy, but then I posed the question in healing. So I also see a healer named Jennifer, and she has been extremely transformative for me, like learning from her. And because like I said, there's the doctor for the body, and then there's the doctors for the spirits. And those are the poets, those are the teachers, those are the artists. And so I might not be able to help you break a bone, but shit, if we can heal our emotional selves, let's do it together, you know? And so I spoke to her and I said, Jen, I have this question, like, how do I release these expectations? Like, I don't know how to do that. I have never even seen that in my life. How do I know how to do that? And you know what she said? She gave me a prescription. I'm just kidding. She gave me a prescription, but it was for an activity. And so I had made this list, and I read her the list, and then she said, okay, now you have two options for this list of taken, because taken is the list that needs to be released. You're going to take the given list, and you're going to post it where you can see it. You're going to take the taken list, and you're going to get a bowl, and you're going to burn it. Or you can take the bowl and take it outside, and you can take the list and bury it. Either way, if you burn it, you need to give the ashes back to the grass, go back in your house and start over. That's it. That's how you release it. Give it back to wherever it came from, because guess where this pandemic came from? The earth. So if it can take care of that, it can take care of this. So you can release your expectations and give them back and send them back to where they came from, and you can choose to start over. And starting over means that you say, this sucks and this hurt me and this doesn't feel good at all, but I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to run from it this time. I'm just going to let myself feel it, because you know why? I have time. Finally. The time might not be my favorite. I might not be in my favorite place. It might not be ideal. But the one thing we got an abundance of right now is time. So, I mean, that's what I've been using it to do, and I only hope that I can encourage you to do the same. So thank you so much, all of y'all, for being here, for sharing with me, and for being so open, and just for listening to me, because sometimes I just show up, and I hope I say the right thing, and I don't know if I do or not, but I do it anyway. I show up anyway, you know? Sometimes you do a good job when you show up to work. This is my work, so I'm just hoping that that I'm answering that call, and you know, I'm proud of all of you for being here, because I know that you could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me. Just kidding, you can only be at your house. But you chose to be here and you didn't have to. And so that means a lot to me. And I'm so glad that I was here with y'all. I love y'all. Thank you. Bye.
Hello? It's the Motherfucking Millennial Mija Podcast.